the like briefest lyric that I mentally wrote that I never got to use because of Oko was like, I never really quite got it down, but the core of it was like, play Oko on a Thursday, make a couple bucks. And I was very proud of that.
What's that from?
Nothing. It's like, you know, you get the double play bucks, like making some L, foroing the weekly.
It's from the Ice Age block, right? Like circa 95. The OG flying 2020 to beat the noobs alive. Well, I'm like, gonna make that fucking turn two, I guess. The threat of merit lage is gonna make you stress. Just loaming up card, wasting duels, partner hands. You can't cast your spells when they're stuck in your hand. Just activating Saga's constructs, we keep them coming. Fucking A card's ridiculous, can't even believe they printed it. And every time it hits 3 mana, I'll crop fetch stage. If you ain't got no white mana, I'll just make a merit late. Fucking buddy most of 5 on the winning in round. And they're like, shit, you're gonna make a Dark Depths? And I was like, fucking right. So I turned 1 mana bond and pitched my hand, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, bud. Gonna make a Dark Depths for ya, bud. Gonna make a Dark Depths. Gonna make a Dark Depths for ya, bud. Gonna make a Dark Depths. Gonna make a Dark Depths for ya, bud. Gonna make a Dark Depths.
3, 2, 1. Oh, wait, shit. No, that's not that good.
Jeff was like bursting with laughter. He's just waiting to.
He's primed. I am the human blunderbuss.
I got it. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy podcast. It's skipping an entire episode to untap our time vault. My name's Quinn Amore, and I'm here as always with my two giggling co-hosts. Oh, baby, we got him. Jeff Kinsey. Jeff, how's it going?
Hello.
I feel
happy
like
happy to be here again.
I feel like it's been a month, but it feels like we talked like 2 weeks ago. Weird. Anyways, as always, we're joined by our other co-host, Brendan McBain. McBain, what's up?
Hey, guys. That was an excellent one, by the way.
Thank you. Very so far, no one understands it. So
we'll get into it in a moment. Well, they might be suspecting something based
the
on...
The true fans of the Canadian Threshold might be suspecting something.
Yeah.
All 5 of you. Thank you for being with us. Should we get into some housekeeping before that?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into some housekeeping that's not about the podcast.
The house is dirty. It's great.
It's so good to see. Like, I'm getting a few people messaging me with events. McBain's adding things. There's stuff like, you know, in the far future. There's stuff in the near future. It's a good time. To be interested in paper magic again. And I'm going to start off that news with news about 2 events in a format that none of us play. The Vancouver Battle Royale is happening April 23rd. It's having a modern event. And Face to Face is having a modern event in Burnaby June 18th. Now, those 2 things to the side, we have some real meat and potatoes things happening here on the non-paper magic front. Magic Online is having all access passes starting the March 23rd, which for at time of recording is tomorrow, until April 1st. And that end date doesn't sound right. I think it's a week later than that. But yeah, that's like, I'm fucking up. Reading the wrong thing. It's March 23rd to April 6th. I'm skipping down a few lines on this. Normal as always, $25 token, 2 tokens to enter the super qualifiers. The super qualifiers are running March 28th, April 1st, with the legacy one happening in particular Thursday, March 31st at 7 a.m.
PST. Are either of you guys going to take the day off work, play legacy from 7 a.m. until you scrub out, and then take a nap, eat dinner, and go play legacy in paper?
I might.
Now that I was like a hard no, and then I'm like, oh, it's Legacy Night. I could just play Legacy all day.
Right?
Maybe.
And like the burnout you experience from playing like shitty online Legacy is nothing. It's totally washed away as soon as you go play, you know, the good kind of shitty in-person paper
Legacy. I like how you've correctly assumed that we'll do bad, And I was also, she's like, yeah, I'll be so mad. And then I'll go and I'll lose again, but I'll be so happy.
Mm-hmm. You would be playing Legacy for every waking hour of that day, which is pretty cool.
Don't tempt me.
I might take the day off work now. I'm thinking about it.
I should say, too, within that week, March 20th, April 1st, they're doing a limited Super Qualifier, too, which I don't believe they've done on the previous times they've done this. And
are you going to hire your personal trainer?
So,
as Kevin?
I think it might be on the 1st. I don't remember what day it is. I don't have it in front of me. But, yeah, I was going to make some kind of note as the thing that I've apparently had the most success with being limited. Maybe if I'm booking a day off, it'll be to play some sealed buff.
This is whether we find out if that old adage about blind squirrels and nuts is true or not.
It's like a squirrel version of the broken clock.
Oh, blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So is Jeff a blind squirrel or are those glasses working? Is he a sighted
You're still
squirrel?
Looking.
Yeah.
I like the broken clock is right twice a day metaphor.
Well, it's twice a day.
Broken clock still finds two nuts. okay.
Okay. Continue.
Put that one to the side.
Remember that enchantment, broken clock nest?
Okay. These are.
No.
Okay.
Wait. Within Magic Online All Access Pass, worth noting for housekeeping. Unspecified date, unspecified time. Traditional Can Thresh stream will be starting up. We've got a few decks in the hopper. We've got a guest stopping in for the hopper. And I don't think the guest is going to be McBain. I don't think he's going to show up.
We have a guest that's... You saying not McBain.
Mm-hmm.
I was more a dig at me and you, Jeff, but now it's a dig at McBain too. We have a guest that can actually play Magic very well.
I know.
Good at Magic.
It's very exciting. I think, it'll be very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. More things I'm looking forward to. Back on Paper Magic, hot off the presses, news as of, I think, yesterday. So it's kind of lukewarm off the presses. It's like, you know, the micro is beeping, telling you it's been in there for a little bit, but you not that news. Long.
Come on.
Puget Sound Battleground, number 4.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Oh, yeah. And this is set for... Oh, fuck. I don't have the date on here. it's
July 30th and 31st.
And 31st.
July 30th and 31st.
Greater Tacoma Dome.
The Greater Tacoma Convention Center. This one I'm looking forward to because I don't think we'll have to promote this for, like, you know, the next 9 months like we did the last one. I think... judging how things are, this date's going to be pretty solid, which is very cool. I mean, come on down. We've got Modern, Legacy, Pioneer, Team Trios, non-unified, but Legacy, Modern, Pioneer, Canadian Highlander Challenge, Old School Challenge, Popper Challenge, all kinds of shit going on. Very, very, very cool. They got a good stack of artists again. You know, RK Post, Anthony Scott Waters, Brian Snuddy, Margaret Organ Keen for all of your favorite horse-related cards, Pete Panthers, Drew Tucker, Jeff Loeb, Steve Kenmeyer Jr., Mark Tieden, and Nicola Leonard Beeson to sign my 4th Caracas. This is going to be very cool. I can already say 1,000% I am going to be there. Very much looking forward to this, and hopefully easy travels through the border and all COVID-related stuff, and looking forward to just booking off, you know, a large weekend to get way too trashed in the Seattle area.
Tacoma this area.
Probably be like our first Magic trip, right?
This is Seattle area.
Yeah, that's
speaking of somebody
airport.
Who lives in the Vancouver area.
SeaTac Airport. SeaTac Airport. It's the same region. SeaTac region.
That's what I'll be doing at Margaret Organ Keene's booth, too, is looking at the SeaTac on all the horse paintings.
What?
Isn't tack like horse gear on like a saddle?
Oh, I don't know. That was real deep.
Okay.
To what Quinn said, this is going to be, I think, our first, like, you know, big Paper Magic tournament that we're going to be at, which is very cool, very exciting.
That's not all. Jeff, you got one more. There's one more in the hopper here.
There is. This one's also very cool. Regrettably, I think we collectively only found out about this like this week. I didn't see anything about it in the normal channels.
I saw it in This Week in Legacy today, yesterday, whenever This Week in Legacy came out, which we read religiously.
Yeah.
Have you been posted in there yet, Quinn? Beyond like our comment, like beyond our
what, like we put up? I don't play MTGO. How do I get posted?
All right, that's fair.
Yeah. I just started like emailing Joe to be like, "Hey, can you just put this in there? It's spicy. I swear to God."
Yeah. In the spice corner,
I put this guy Delver deck in my local. I went 1-2 plus a buy. Spicy.
I got in there playing paper, but that was way back in the day when, you know, like
the Sean Brown
sandwich could get in. Someone playing a Johnny Benjamin could get in.
Yeah, strongly, because Sean Brown posted your list. There was a Mox event, I think. And he was like, there's not a Johnny Benjamin in here. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't think that card should exist in Painter, but I guess it's working for him.
Yeah. Anyway, one more, Jeff. One more.
Little pride derailment. I can respect that. I have to do that sometimes too. So there's an organization which is, as we're learning, looking at stuff today, a nonprofit, which as we're also learning, looking at this today, is apparently based in Vancouver, which is cool. But they're running events in Seattle. Mox Bellevue, they're hosting they're calling it just Marchesa 2022. But in reality, it's CEDH. There's a tournament happening. There's a legacy tournament happening. And there was another kind of offshoot commander-esque format that was happening. But of note, legacy's $60 entry. It's on the 27th. So very tight by the time you hear this, probably at 10 a.m. at Mox Bellevue. There's going to be video coverage. Judges, you know, on-site stuff. Very cool. I look forward to watching the video coverage, as I probably won't make it down for the weekend.
The other format is called Conquest, and it's a we'll link to an article, but it's a competitive commander format.
Isn't that what CEDH is?
Hey, I just found the article, so I'm not going to try and... I was like, let me read through. No, let me not do that right now, but we'll link to it. Yeah, Conquest is the third. No.
Oh, I'm going to go play a pre-modern tournament. Oh, you mean middle school? Oh, no. No, it's similar to Hextended.
Oh, what? Yeah. I love old school. Oh, how do you feel about Swedish rules? Well, I'm more of a fan of the yeah. Finn Nordic yeah. style.
But still... Like, so first of all, this is like, I think I'd agree with both of you that I had never heard of any of this before today. So we were totally missing the housekeeping boat. I think we may have mentioned it in our last episode, but we may never know. But this Monarch group looks like it's like a CEDH or competitive EDH community first. Like that's what they're really focused on, but they've obviously gotten hooked in with Legacy. That might, I don't know if that's just like overlap between community members in the Seattle area who heard this was coming to town and said, over our dead body, are you coming to town and hosting an event like this without including Legacy or not? I don't know. I think
that's like the cut for using like Mox. They're like, look, we'll give you the space, but.
Yeah. And like the old like Godfather voice, like you will need to host the legacy
on today, the day of my legacy tournament. It's like a fucking underground sea cut in half under the blankets.
I guess confession as I say this, and I laugh along and make these jokes. I've never seen any of the Godfather movies. So maybe one day I'll get around to it, but it comes up quite often that I haven't seen them, even when I actually know that I'm missing out on something. It looks super awesome. Like in terms of the material and like the content, and looks super professional.
It's very well laid out for sure. Yeah. Like the website they have detailing everything. I mean, Quinn, you pointed out before we started, they're like policy documents on like, you know, like behavioral conduct and stuff. And it's like very thorough and like everywhere you want it to be. And it's like, I love that people put that thought into this to like, you know, first of all, create these rules and like write them down so clearly and like, you know, have it just laid out.
Do you want to read through it or?
No.
I did skim ahead of it on Conquest. So I don't want to say that like everyone can read it later. I don't want to limit it to just this as the differences, but the reserved list and all fetch lands are banned.
No fetch lands,
but that means it's like competitive, eternal, but not like backbreakingly expensive, which I think is like, even starting from that point, I'm like, CDH is not really my thing, but that's a cool concept.
Yeah, you can respect like the mission statement, right?
Yeah, like to be like, hey, you want to be spiky, like we're trying to do it in a way that's like, you might still have to buy $100 Ragavan, but you don't have to buy like an $800 underground sea.
That's fair. You can get behind that. So one really interesting thing with this event, I don't know, because again, we just kind of discovered these people. I don't know if this is something that they do at all of their events, but they have this thing where they don't allow proxies because those are frowned upon and not allowed, but they allow playtest cards, their own special version of the playtest card. So I think they advertise it as like cards you don't need to bring as kind of a way to think about it. And there's a list of cards that they have. And basically you can show up and everyone who shows up for the event, you get these as a loan, like give them back to us at the end of the day or else you're stealing. And you can play these cards in your deck as a playtest replacement for whatever it is you're doing. So like if you're playing lands and you don't have a Tabernacle at the Pendra Vale, you could have a playtest card in the spot. And these playtest cards are allowed to be used in the Legacy and CEDH events. Obviously not on the Conquest event because they don't apparently have expensive cards in it.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at that and I was like, why isn't it allowed in this other one? But then it was like, oh, of course, because these are all reserve list cards and those aren't in that format.
Look at us putting two and two together.
We did it.
So just I'm just going to go through some of the highlights here from the playtest card list. And so some colorless ones, you've got like Lion's Eye Diamond, for example. I'll go over like the legacy appropriate ones that are playable.
Aspects. I'm waiting for you to skip a particular one I'm looking at.
No, I'm gonna really highlight on that one. For colorless, we've got like LED and Mox Diamond. Those are like $100 card or hundreds and hundreds of dollars now. For Black Quinn, you would be happy to know that Chains of Mephistopheles is a playtest card for you, so you can fulfill your childhood dream of
playing making like the worst deck your imaginable in 2022.
Do you think you can lobby them for like Nether Void to be on there too?
I was going to say, not to nitpick too much, but it's weird that like Intuition's not on here, like Nether Void.
Yeah.
I guess those cards kind of, I mean, Intuition's playable.
Nether Void definitely
not. It just kind of sucks.
I think I'm curious how they crafted this list, but it feels as though, curious if you guys could hear that.
Watsy's on to us. They're not proxies, they're playtest cards.
I'm curious if these... It looks like it's been crafted from a CDH perspective.
Yeah, I think so.
And not a legacy definitely. Perspective. Oh, yeah, I guess Intuition is included.
Useless in CDH. Right? Oh, not useless, but like...
Far they busted. Would have included like, you know, Nether Void for sure. But so red cards, nothing of note. Green cards, nothing of note. All the dual lands are on there. So again, you would get a... I don't know if you get a playset or not.
It says in the thing, it's like you submit your deck list, and then I think they have all the stuff ready. So I'm sure you can get a playset of.
Yeah, that would suck. You show up and you're like, I need my playtest Volcanic Seas to blame my janky Blue Red Delver deck. Like, here's your one Volcanic Sea, you degenerate. And then the lands of note, you've got Gaea's Cradle, Tabernacle, Pendrel Vale, and City of Traders. So I think that's really cool. I like the idea, like, and especially even just like, here, come play with our playtest cards. So, you know, they could have their little branding or logo or whatever design on it. And you would get like that much more of a feel for it.
It's streaming too, right? Then you can like mm-hmm. make them visible on the stream and like legible on the stream.
And I mean, it saves you from having like just garbage, you know, even if you say you need to have printed proxies for some kind of event, like, you know, I have my fucking 10 DPI like dot matrix printer trying to print out this like oversaturated underground sea, like
you could make a card that's the same thing as a Magic card that you put into like a perfect mm-hmm. fit, and then it like your deck is like uniform thickness.
I think yeah. the ideal would be there would be some kind of ink or something on it that the stream camera could see.
Ooh.
That would pick up and play audio file, so when you play the card it would be like Karn.
As I am Karn.
That would clearly be the best. I don't know what the cards would say when you do it, but on the blue cards, which I've conveniently saved to last, none other than Time Spiral is on there in terms of, but we've also got thousands of dollars at this point. I'm sure it's basically a million Dogecoin, but we've got a Gilded Drake on this list of playtest cards.
The only way I'm playing four Gilded Drakes at an event.
I'm pretty sure, Jeff, since we won't be attending this, you should find someone who's going to this and like, you know.
Dude, get them to steal it though? They're supposed to give it back.
I was going to say, I'm like, I'm not condoning it, but like, you know, if it happened, maybe they're a fan and they would listen. Like, I honestly...
Did you commit a minor level of larceny for me?
For cards, you know, that you can't play anywhere?
I think what's going to happen is our good friend Franco Boli is going to get a break from his baby, go to this event, and palm a bunch of Gilded Drakes for you and send them up. Even though this is all going to come out after he attends and does this, I think that's
what he just happen. Knows.
Yeah.
I want to say too, this, like, I mean, at large, the like playtest card, you know, pretty transparent workaround, if I can, I guess, snitch on it for, you know, proxies. This would be a really interesting way for a lot of stores to handle this stuff. I know there's a lot of issues with like the WPN and the store. What do they have to have yeah. sanctioned events so they get more product?
I think this works for that as a workaround.
I mean, like, but like something in the future that's something we'll have to loosen up on a side, but like I can picture a world where something like this exists for basically a non-sanctioned format of Legacy as it is. Like, imagine you go to Stronghold and it's like, look, we don't want to play quality control over the level of proxies that you have. So we are not going to allow any proxies. But, you know, much like these guys, we have a list of cards and, you know, you can borrow them for the event and give them back. And they could print, you know, their own little art or whatever name for it. They could put their fucking logo across the bottom, little advertising for Stronghold. Because, like, you know how even when you buy stuff from, like, face-to-face or something, you always get a Card Kingdom. You get the little token card in it. Just imagine if you got, like, a Card Kingdom little token card that just, you know, says, like, Gilded Drake on it and says how much it costs or something. Like, it would be cool to have some kind of standardized... It's clearly not a Magic card, but it can still function fairly directly as a Magic card in these cases.
Instead of running my actual metalworkers, I want like a metalworker playtest card where the metalworker's head is like replaced by Jordan Wu's head.
Oh,
that's my dream.
it's perfect.
I want Jeff Fung as the guy who's like tending to the Gilded Drake.
Yeah, I'm sure we could go on for a while here, actually. And I think we should. So So would the Wheel of Fortune be Jordan holding up like a box and he's like, I'll trade you this for every for your entire legacy deck?
Absolutely.
Like, I think that's the appropriate Wheel of Fortune.
I've got to give context. I don't know if I ever explained this. So we talked about Jaewoo before. Jordan Woo, Jaewoo, Joe Dan. You'll hear us say all these things. The owner of our kind of local Magic Stronghold, where sometimes you'll buy a pack and he'll be like, I'll open one too. And he'll look at you and he'll be like, well, rare'd you get? And you'll like tell him, and it's like, you know, pretty shitty. And he'll be like, you want to trade me for my pack? And it's always this thing where you're like, no, except it's never bad. I think you're supposed to say yes every time.
I think you are.
Even when it's good, I think you're supposed to say yes.
But usually he does it. So like the instances that it's, I've seen it happen most recently is when he's holding some random box, usually it looks a little disheveled and like rounded corners on the cardboard. And he's just like, I'll give you this for your entire legacy deck. Like, I'm not telling you what's in the box, but like, here it is. And again, the rule still applies. You should probably snap call and then like take the box from his hand before he can take back his question. But maybe we're going to get, he's going to hear this and then we're going to have to take it down because, like, you know, then the rule is broken and everyone knows to always say yes. But
I remember like one time it was like Modern Masters 2. So like Tarmogoyf was still like expensive. Like they would have bought it for like $100. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to Surgical Extraction. I need my third one. He's like, well, how bad you need? Want to take my pack instead? And I was like, no, I like, need this for my deck. And he's like, okay. And he just windows me the Tarmogoyf. And I was like, why would you ask me that? But also, why did I say no?
Yeah, so always say yes. This is
Wheel of Fortune. Perfect.
Exactly.
Intuition is on here.
Yeah, it is. I was gonna say.
It's like there's no intuition. No, it's under Guild the Drake. It's in alphabetical order.
Mishra's Workshop would also be.
Oh, yeah.
Mishra's. Now I'm blanking on it. What was it actually called? Mishra's Workshop?
Isn't Mishra's Game Workshop?
Yeah. But it would be instead of like the original, like, you know, 1999 version of the story, it would be now where it's like just dilapidated.
Right.
You more can barely read the name of the card. Mishra's Workshop used to be the biggest Magic store in Vancouver, or the greater Vancouver area for geography heads. So I would beg my mother to go to drive me from, and she would drive me like once a year, and it was like my favorite
thing. I'm so sad because this predates me, you know, being in the area and caring about Magic. So I missed the workshop, and the closest I get is that Tristan and Taylor and I will go to the gym in Burnaby sometimes, and right out the window Tristan will be like, you see that store over there? You see that one? The fucking like the letters are gone, but you can still kind of read what that is. That's Mishra's. That's the one.
Yeah, I used to love it. I have like a younger cousin who is like, now we're like quite close in age, but like when you're
now,
you know, like grade, well, yeah, you know, now, well when you're like 40,
relatively,
my cousin's 37, you know, like we're basically the same age for all intents and
purposes. All right.
When I'm in grade 8 and he's in grade 5, I'm like, I don't want to hang out with him. My mom's like, you have to. You know, but I used to remember that like my mom would be like, well, Kelly's coming in a couple of weeks. So when Kelly comes, I'll drive you both to Mishra's. And I would just be like, I can't wait till Kelly gets here for only that reason. We're pretty tight now, but like, yeah, you know, you're back in the day when someone's like, it seems like significantly younger.
Mm-hmm. We should probably have like Tristan Taylor or someone on and just like talk about Mishra's, have a Mishra's episode. But
I would love to sit here like that.
It's maybe get history. Elliot in here.
It's hardcore. The stores, the figures,
the art. Yeah. So playtest cards. I like it. I think it's basically this whole like community of legacy players who are saying like, you know, proxies should just be allowed. Like I think of Callum over in London and their group where they just hold proxy legacy. and they just they show up. Like it's more of just like to get people out, and they have really good outings. And they like we used to have proxies for, I want to say years, honestly, but we had it for quite a while.
Definitely from when I started playing Legacy of Stronghold until, you know, what was it, like a year before COVID, maybe 2 years before COVID, they stopped proxies, but it was like a while, definitely.
I think the thing that made it challenging for stores though is like, I mean, I don't know exactly where Stronghold sits in like the hierarchy of like the WPN network, but I think
the top, not sponsored.
Are they actually?
I know.
Because it's about size and like,
yeah.
But I think they're like kind of close to the cusp. So like, for them to like use their space for a non-sanctioned event. Or that, I guess the opposite, for them to not use it is not them being like ungenerous. It's just like they have to do it because like it's such a big deal for like to like get bumped into another tier is like a huge thing. And like,
So I do know that Jordan was very close to that. I can't remember what like the official like promoted store or like, those pinnacle stores. He was very close to it, and he was. Especially when it first came out, like for like 2 years, he was just doing everything he could to like bump those numbers. And it would be like, okay, I'm getting new chairs for the place because it can't be these kind of chairs. They have to be like these quality and the tables are going to be this. So like all those little changes and everything that we saw that made Stronghold better than it already was were all because he was chasing that golden goose of that like really high caliber diamond level store or whatever it is. So it cuts directly against that kind of ultimate goal of saying, I want to be this when he might not be, even if he wasn't dissuaded or even if at any store wasn't actively like batted down for holding a unsanctioned event where they promoted playtest cards or something. I think it just, it's an opportunity cost the store bears where they're like, we have 7 nights a week that we can do something. And one of those is now lost because we're holding these playtest things and we're not getting sanctioned events through the door that are bumping our numbers and getting us closer to those things. So I think it's just a numbers game, which is like, you can understand from a business perspective, but it's also a little sad when you're on the receiving end of that. And you're like, okay, I want to have like, a bigger community of people, and they want to play. History has shown that they want to play. How can we make this work? So, one random thought, it would be kind of interesting if the playtest cards were actually just like vouchers for an amount of store credit. So these like, so the stores like release. Deposit? Yeah. Like the stores release them and they're like, hey, do you want to trade in your store credit for like, you know, $5 an underground C or something. So you have these underground C's and you could just like at any time, like trade them back to the store and get your store credit back or something as a way to stop people from like stealing them. But you could also like trade them to people and they're still like of value. I don't know, but, or you could charge, like, let's say you charged, you charge like, you know, $8 for a $5 store credit playtest card. And that $3, you know, goes to the making the cards, but also just, you know, profit.
Maybe this speaks more to like the bad morality that I've like beat out of myself as I've grown into an adult. But the first thing that came to my head was like cornering the market on like fucking like fake like credit cards. maybe fake credit cards too. And I've really expanded my pseudo business, but like just be like, oh yeah, if we put an extra set of underground seeds, like they don't know where they're from. Where'd you get these? I got them from Jeff, don't worry about it.
Yeah Stronghold's just like, I've received receipts for like 50 of these things. Like, we only printed 10.
They clearly have little hologram circles at the bottom middle that would prevent fraud.
It's got like the buzzer, like, so when you walk through
center, I don't know.
Isn't when you walk through like the beams at the doors, it goes ding 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 ding. Like you just start to steal from a Walmart or something.
Or it has the special ink in it that the camera recognizes So when they like, when you go to pay for it, it's like, hold on, let me scan and make sure this is good. And it's like, I am Karn. And you're like, yeah, this is good.
That's authentic. That's the good stuff. I'll say the biggest misstep they have here is referring to them as playtest cards, because when you link this in the Slack and it says they're allowing playtest cards, I was like, what the fuck? Like, is like my new, you know, duck planeswalker going to go up in price?
Oh, I thought you were thinking like way back to like the Gamma playtest cards, you know, like what Wheel of Fortune costs two, and like.
I was just thinking of the Mystery Booster playtest cards.
Oh, I like where you were going, Quinn. Although I will add, as a fan of Gamma, a lot of them actually didn't cost less. It was just how the mana costs were displayed are different than they are now. This is the
biggest Drake Dragon argument.
Actually, their intention was that Time Walk still cost two mana, but it was displayed in a way that made you think it cost one.
It was two mana, and one of which has to be blue.
That's correct. Thank you.
Their intention was to say that the player casts a spell an extra turn, but it actually said target player loses next turn, which was misinterpreted, as you might imagine.
Thank you.
That was a Time Walk's written, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, I'm going to actually. There is a red Time Walk in Gamma.
Oh,
and so there's like a blue Time Walk that says take an extra turn, and then there's a red Time Walk printed at common that says target player loses next turn.
Common? Can you imagine that format?
Yeah, Ancestral Recall was common as well, because it was printed alongside like Healing Salve
and Dark Bolt. Ritual
and like,
wow. You know, they probably got to it and they're like, well, this seems a bit strong, but we got to keep the cycle together.
Yeah, but they at least upshifted it to rare, like when it got to alpha. Anyway, I'm saying this because I listened to like 18 hours of so many insane plays reviewing alpha, but so I've been indoctrinated with that. But getting off of this topic, playtest cards, I think this is cool. I think it's just another kind of like slow chink in the armor that is, I guess, like community run events who are doing what players actually really want rather than what Wizards is telling people to do, and then also not really supporting people to do what they say to do. So here is a community run event put on by people who love the game that has a great, like, everything down to like the policy of how the events run and like how you should be conducting yourself while you're there. But you're also getting things like for the stream and the video, you've got that. You've got a great social media website presence. You've got playtest cards, like everything, just you're checking all the boxes and it's great. So I think it's just a matter of time before these things become more and more of a reality.
Speaking of what WotC won't do, this is like all speculation, but there is an organized play announcement on March 31st. Do you think GPs are coming back?
Okay. This is an excellent way to kind of wind down the podcast and do like a speculation moment, and then we'll end on a high note because it can only go down from here. Okay. Does that
sound... I mean, it's just like, it's not a speculation about like what cards they're making. I just like, I'm like actually curious. Like, a part of me is like, I feel like in the States, even if like individuals have not necessarily given up, I feel like it's just like, look, like we get on this train, like everything is quote unquote normal, or we don't. And so for a business, I like, I understand that if you're like, oh, just do the thing, you know? And I think also, I think a lot of Magic organizations have like taken extra steps when they are doing the thing to be more careful. So like this monitoring event is like, you must approve a vaccine. Everyone has to wear a mask while they're there, you know, inside. But yeah, I'm like actually really curious if like, it's going to be like a vague organized play of some sort will come, of some kind will come back, and alluding to like a, whatever the pro tour, new pro tour will be. Or if it's actually going to be like, oh, like just like Magic Fests are back.
Yeah. I'm curious because I mean the last word is like Magic Fest, like as we know it. I mean, outside of even like the pandemic, like that's not really happening, right? Wasn't that kind of the last move, was like stepping away from organizing anything like that?
I think so. That was such a weird moment for me as like, I guess someone who's become quite invested in Magic.
Mm-hmm.
But like for two, I guess one, I've probably been quote unquote invested in Magic in the eyes of WotC for longer than I think I have. Because I remember going to my like first GP, you know, like when I was like an adult, you know, it was like 2013 or 2014. And being like super excited. And I didn't play Legacy then. You know, like I think I played Two-Headed Giant with Tristan Taylor. And was like, this is so cool. And it's funny to me to conceive like interacting with the game and like not being like, well, I'm gonna go to this thing. But I mean, there must be like an order of magnitude of group of people larger than what we are. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the one thing about like now with like, you know, you can be like, WotC did this and it's bad. WotC did this. I'm like, they sure for sure did the calculus on like, is this worth our time?
Yeah, it's I can't imagine they're bringing anything back beyond like stuff they already wound down and stopped. I mean, all of the news they ever put out is about, you know, a record over record profits in a time where there's like literally no paper play happening.
That's the announcement. We made more money.
The announcement is changing.
Like, we're actually banning stores from running in-person events. Stores have to run it all through
Arena. The
more
the number goes up. This is great. Everything's banned.
What was that like Blizzard announcement? Like, don't you guys have phones? That'll be like their response to why like stores can't just run all the events through Arena. I mean, some kind of thing would be sick. Like GPs fucking rule. Like GPs rule when it's the main event you're there for, be it a format you really, really like Legacy, or like something, you know, you like but comes around like limited. Like every fucking sealed GP that came around in the Pacific Northwest has been kick ass. You know, I've gone to like standard GPs, even when standard's not that good, just because playing in a GP rules. Like I go to a modern GP. And even if I'm not playing those events, like going there for side events for like, and not just like the, you know, oh, eight people showed up, let's go do this right now. But, you know, the big like Sunday series things or whatever, where you can win a good chunk of credit or a box. Like those are so sick. And just having like a rotating convention of people playing Magic rules. And it sucks if that doesn't exist.
I fucking love GB Vegas. So much.
the only thing I would say is like, as great as they are, something like Puget Sound Battleground 4 that we just talked about does an amazing job at it's giving true. You all of the things that you want and none of the things that you don't want. Like we just went through like a laundry list of amazing artists that you want to go see. Amazing formats, actually structured in a bit of a way to be like, hey, they're going to want to play this and this, so let's put them here mm-hmm. in the schedule. Like, we can sit here and like talk about the yesteryear, but here are people who lived those years and are now creating these new events.
It's true.
That are doing that. So I don't bemoan Wizards' announcement just being like, hey, we made more money. LOL. Like I'm sure they're going to continue to do good stuff. We've got like Huey Jensen and John Finkel and some of like the greats of Magic, like getting more involved with how things.
Well, John Finkel would like to, apparently.
Would like
not,
to
not yeah. yet.
But we've got like Huey Jensen and there. Like, there's a lot of like big names and people who really love the game who were around when we loved the game as like younger people, and like they know that. And they're going to have to sit there and obviously like deal with the tension that is like the current world and how to best do things. But like, I don't have concerns that it's going to continue to degrade in a really awful way.
I'm just saying, you don't want to make Puget Sound Battleground better. If it was Henderson, Nevada, or perhaps Spring Valley Battleground, Red Rock Canyon Battleground, Hoover Dam Battleground, any of these places close to the strip, I'm down 100% in.
And I think what you're saying about Puget Sound Battleground and stuff too, McBain, like, it's absolutely right. I mean, we've been talking about it the whole time. We've been hyping up Puget Sound Battleground, you know, number X of just stores stepping in and running things like Eternal Weekend and like Puget Sound Battleground, right? Like, it's kind of the new ground for people to do stuff themselves because WotC is not doing it. And really, I'm lamenting losing out on those GPs and stuff. And we do have these alternatives coming up. But as great as they are, and excited I am to go to them, and I'm going to go to them and support them, it is still kind of sad they're not that big yet. But, you know, given time and attendance and everything, they will be. Because it's super cool going into one of these spots that's fairly well targeted at things I want to do. But it's also extremely cool just going into a giant fucking convention center full of people playing a format you don't give a shit about, and, you know, just walking around and seeing what's going on.
I think the thing too, like, and this still varied during the GP age, where I half joke and I'm also extremely serious about, like, GP Vegas being my favorite GP. But one of the things about that is that WotC actually had, like, even when it was contracted to, like, Channel Fireball, if they weren't running it, had, like, a massive presence. Mm-hmm. And those are the things where I'm like, remember we went to GP Vegas and, like, we saw Matt Tabak give away a pack of antiquities and that guy fucking ripped a workshop, you know, like, oh, like, we saw that dude did a draft and a chaos draft, and then someone from Wizard showed up and just pulled a copy or, like, a pack of Legends and threw it into the pile. Like, and those are, like, pretty small things, you know, even if we were like, wow, a pack of antiquities, $1,000, or they just have them in a vault somewhere, right? It was a beta draft the one year that, like, Rob and I went. Like, that was insane. Like, we tried to qualify for it. We didn't get far at all. But this idea to be like, I got to run it back. Like, I'm just going to run it back and pay $40. I'm going to open a sealed pool. My sealed pool is shit. Okay, I'm going to run it back. I'm going to open a sealed pool. It's like only $40. I'm going to try and beta draft. And then obviously we didn't make it. But then you see, like, LSV, you know, looking at this thing and, like, being like, you know, windowing an underground sea to the camera and everyone goes fucking nuts or whatever.
Even GB Vegas, the year that I was there with you guys, it's with you, they were doing promos for, I don't remember what set was coming out, but, you know, they were doing spoiler announcements, like, live on, like, the floor. You know, everybody's kind of in a corner. They had some kind of fancy background and, you know, cardboard models up or whatever. And then they were kind of displaying in front of all these people physically standing there, like, okay, here's our new card. Like, da-da. And, like, that's fucking cool. You know, I like seeing it. Maybe if you went to this Mox thing, they'd be like, da-da, look at our fucking new playtest art. Season, think about the playtest art. You could have season 2 of Monarch, you know, Underground Seed has new art.
The thing about if, like, WotC is there too, is you don't have to drive to their parking lot to put up your sign. You just had carried around the convention center hall. But, like, what car do you want to ban? But I think there is, yeah. And again, not to take anything away, and actually to, like, I think underscores how much, like, I think we, I'm going to speak for all of us, we appreciate the individual stores or, like, different TOs that are, like, stepping up. But there was, like, I think one of the things that made Magic a cool game, and it's also, I think there are still individuals at Wizards of the Coast who are deeply invested in Magic. You know, I think if you take a person from Wizards of the Coast, chances are they, like, love Magic more than, like, most things in their life. But I think one of the things that made Magic a really cool experience was that, like, just felt like that was, like, the whole company. The company just gave a shit about people playing Magic. And I don't, and again, individuals, I think, still care deeply about it, right? Whether you agree with them or not, I think you're just like, or whatever they say, something about a card or design a card or whatever. All those people, you know, are like, they love Magic the Gathering. And one of the culminations of that was, like, you go to a big event and those people are there. You play against these people. They're there talking to people. They're, like, excited to talk about people. It's like a celebration of, like, this thing we all love, you know, is, like, a lot bigger than, like, even though they're making a lot of money still, it's like, it feels like more than that. Which I think is, like, a pretty, like, big thing. You don't get that when you go to a hockey game. Ostensibly, everyone there likes hockey, but it's not the same.
That's true. It's not. Do you think we can get an announcer? Like, you know, forget about the like, red gathering point, But like, hey, Magic fans. Actually, fuck, I guess they do that. Shit. For your Vancouver threshold.
Oh my God. Would it be like UFC style?
Oh, that would be great.
He's a legacy player hailing out of Vancouver, Canada. I don't even know. I've like lost the
fucking okay, what if... Here's something we should do, like a Canthresh tournament. We need somewhere, first of all, we need somewhere that has a PA system, so it has to be sizable. But team trios, and you must submit a name, otherwise you're disqualified. And like the feature match area, like there's a ramp, like you gotta walk and then, you know, fucking slide under the rope and come out with your deck box.
what would your intro music be? I've thought about this a lot, so if you can't think of it off like the top of your head,
comes to mind first is it's a classic because you just can't beat it. I mean, John Cena's theme feels like you just have to use it. You know, just coming down there, a deck full of white shitters. Dun, 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 dun.
Now that you've like, I was thinking of like popular music. I mean, not that it's not popular, but I was thinking of like pop songs. But now that you said that, the only thing I can think of is that you hear this like the Stone Cold like shattering glass, like psh, just like a lion sash like floating in the air, and I was like, what the fuck? The Scourge Mystic? Oh, I guess.
Then Jeff shows up, he's like, it's indestructible.
Oh God, is that Caldra? And he's got his sword and his shield. By God, he's completed.
Come on.
Dude, okay. The Canthresh Invitational 2 is going to be lit.
I will make so much money off our NFT playtest cards.
Just imagine pregame. He's cut the deck. It's literally broken in half.
I would do the... what the hell is his name? It's not Scott Summers because that's a fucking X-Men. You take Big Bane. It's 33%.
Scott Steiner.
Yeah. I feel like I'd have to reference that one for Elliot. but that's as close as we're getting. I think this is a great idea. We need to have more wrestling flared things. We could get the Legacy Pit involved. I know they're super into the wrestling scene. I think McVeigh would make a great heel.
McVeigh would be like a heel turn too, right? Because you'd be like, he'd be like William Regal or something, you know, where you'd be like, he's so proper. And then you'd be like, oh my God, he hit Jeff with a steel chair. You know, what it would be? You'd be like, oh, McVeigh's so proper. McVeigh's being a really interactive deck. And you'd be like, is that a Badlands? Is that Faithless Looting? He's playing a Lotus Petal. He was my hero. He played a Lotus Petal.
McVeigh can keep up kayfabe.
All right.
Should we wind it down?
Let's wind it down here, folks.
All right. Okay.
Right. I feel like we got started on a positive note, but we can end on a positive note. But that's gas. Point of my finger. McVeigh, you're first.
I'm not ready. Jeff, go.
Jeff, you're first.
I wanted to shout out, I guess on two levels, there was an event that we didn't talk about ever, because look, it's not on the West Coast. We can't go there. There's SCG Indianapolis at a Legacy 5K main event, just the other weekend. And, some madman in Dash Indomitable on Reddit, they posted a, it's been so long. I forgot what these are called, a tournament report. They came fifth and they were playing.
Is that because it's been so long or because you've never got to do one because you've never done well enough?
Hey, you go through that D&T thread on MTG Salvation, you go back like 6 years, I'm putting in those tournament reports. Nobody else is keeping track of these 1-4s but me.
Okay.
So Indomitable posted tournament report playing Mono Red Burn at SCG Indianapolis, a Legacy 5K, and they came fifth with Mono Red Burn. We have to forward this one to Lyle for sure. Looking at the deck list, you know, it's pretty standard what you think of mono red burn. The only standout to me is a single rolling or roiling vortex to get all those nasty force of will players. Oh, you'll pay one? Yeah, and then take five, idiot. good write-up. You know, it's great too because burn feels like a thing. Everybody supports a burn success story, you know?
The first line of this like tournament report, hello everyone. I played in my first ever REL tournament after not playing Legacy for 20 plus years and made the top 8 in this weekend's SCGCon in Indianapolis Legacy 5K main event. I'm already like, tell me the whole, make a movie out of this. I want to know everything about this person. This is the best thing I read in my life.
Yeah. Burn's one of those great decks too, because you could step in after that long. I mean, obviously it has the updates because there's new cards that are printed, but like, it's like Storm, right? Like you don't really have to know what the cutting edge tech your control player's on or something. You know, they play the hull breaching. Oh, what does that do? Okay, cool. Bolt you, sack two mountains.
Yeah, basically it's like, oh, did you play Sly in 1998? You're like, yeah, I did. Okay, so it's basically that. And yep. Just think of everything dealing 3 damage. So every card is 3 damage. Do you got that? They're like, yeah, I got it. You're like, cool, here you go. Take it down, kiddo.
Yep. So Indomitable, absolutely gas. Please check out the tournament report. It's, as Quinn said, it starts out with a banger, and it's a good read.
I wish I wasn't busy on Thursday, because now I want to... Maybe it's good I'm not busy, because I would sleeve up burn and play it badly. But I was like, oh, yeah, bolt them. My opponent was on standstill, which made me realize I wanted to kill them at instant speed. Oh yeah. End of turn, bolt you. Trigger standstill, bolt you.
Just floating a bunch of standstill triggers. That would look great on Magic Online.
Ooh. I feel alive.
Now I'm having all these like wrestling images in my mind where it's like the double fire blast from the top. Yeah.
Bane, did you get yours ready?
Yeah, I just wanted to have some names in front of me here, but that's gas to some of like, so for those who don't know, partially because this is episode 75, but we'll maybe allude to that another time. We've got Paper Magic back in Vancouver, and we've been having more and more people coming out and showing up. And as someone who like has historically tracked who's been playing and who's been playing what, like it's been really great to see people who were around in 2019 playing or even before that, that dropped off the radar. You didn't hear a peep from them all pandemic. And now we have Paper Legacy back and they're starting to come back out of the woodworks. And it's really great to see that you didn't have that just kind of like loss of your community and people just kind of evolve, like, dissolve into the dust and that's that. And you're just like, okay, I guess they're just never going to play Legacy again. And, you know, more people are coming in, but like, there's a lot of great people who haven't been out in like at least 2 years. Some of them 3, again, cause I have all this data, but like, so folks, like I'll just say some first names here, but like Richard, Pat, Josh, even Scott. It was great to see Anthony out. Anthony played a bit in the webcam days, but like he's really much more of a beta paper person who likes nice cards. Just seeing these people out again is really great and total gas. So if you're listening to this and you're in the Vancouver area and you haven't come out, I would definitely encourage you to come out. We're back up to the numbers that we were on average seeing in the past. So that's excellent to see. And I think there's a lot of room for the future. And the eventual playtest card Canthresh Invitational with a wrestling match arena, apparently. But so great to see some old faces and some new players. So that's gas on my part. Quinn, you want to round it out?
I'm going to do a non-magic one. We're talking so much wrestling. I say RIP to the legend Scott Hall. The reason that I throw so many toothpicks on my floor and then my dad was like, pick that up. What's wrong with you? don't think I need to say more about that. If you don't know who he is, as long as I'm not going to change your mind. If you do, then you're nodding like Jeff and McBain were. Yeah, anything else before we wrap it up?
We've been crapping it up the whole time.
We will see you on twitch.tv/Canadian Threshold. The Canadian Threshold?
Yes.
We'll tweet it out. But we'll see you in less than two thresholds. We will see you in your headphones in actually two thresholds this time, not like the last time if you're counting, which has been longer. Sorry. It's mostly my fault. Bye.
Tombstalker. Tombstalker.